Hey, welcome to the Weed Out. We talk about the nonsense and weed out the bullshit in our backyard. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson with my co-host.
Everyone, I'm Joanna May Booty.
Hi, Joanna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today, Spence?
I'm pretty good. I mean,
I do.
it's a shambles, but like, a lot of good solidarity actions with people I know. Just some really like positive stuff that it's advocating for people. And this isn't stuff we do necessarily publicly with the Weed Out. This is just stuff Joanne and I do on the side. Basically what I know some people are trying to help some people that are incarcerated, and it feels like when you're able to spread the word about something or get people's interest in it, I don't know. It just feels like there have been some little wins. As of recording this, this is post the air serviceman Aaron Bushnell self-immolated himself in the Israeli embassy in D.C. And I think we've crossed the Rubicon. We'll talk about this probably more in a later episode, but I just feel like it's important to mention, Joanna. I don't know. I just.
Yeah, rest in peace, Aaron Bushnell. I'd like to say that he was an active service member engaged in surveillance, cyber defense, and was really involved in a lot of he probably saw a lot, is my assumption, and we don't know, but I think holding space for why and what that action might mean. And I know, like Spence said, like we're doing good and we're looking at the positive things happening here. But I know that for many, the genocide occurring in Palestine and in other places as well, across the world, can be very heavy. So I think those, like looking locally and having your community, having that solidarity with people that are working on things that will impact and make the world a better place, really helps keep, I don't know, a positive outlook too, even when things, it gives you hope, I guess, is what I would say. And we always need to keep that.
And it's really hard to even share that thought of hope, but rebellion and resurrection and rebirth all rely on hope. So you gotta have some of it. And I was saying that we cross Rubicon usually when it gets to the point where there's self-immolation historically. I mean, this is an old protest. I mean, this is centuries old. This act, it's and he said it himself in his own, I'll just paraphrase, what I'm about to endure is nothing compared to what is happening in these genocides that are happening across the world, but specifically in that region of the world. And if they'll do it to Palestinians, they'll do it to us, and we're not all free until we're not free until we're all free. I mean, there's a million sayings here. I don't know what to say, but as honorable as an act that Aaron committed, we have to honor his martyrdom, I and end this oppression. I don't know, ceasefire, end apartheid. Like, there's a million hashtags you can use here, and it's really just end imperialism. That's just my final thought, and I feel like Aaron was taking a stance against imperialism in the name of the people being harmed by Israel and the West.
Agreed. And he was a Massachusetts native, actually. I just want to throw that out there. And I just, so if anyone does personally know him, I'm so sorry for your loss. And I am sorry to his family and friends because it's so hard to lose someone when they're young. But I understand that people cannot continue on after they see something so horrific, like what is occurring. And specifically we're focused on Palestine because that is why Aaron did self-immolate. I just want to like focus on the hope and In a way, I wouldn't use the word faith, but I have faith that the Palestinian people will continue and live on. I know they will. And I think we all need to know that, believe it, and hold solidarity with them and have hope in our hearts that that faith will be continually shared and revealed to others. Because I think, like, just a small thing to share, my own mother, who, you know, raised me evangelically and is not someone who is super conservative now, but recently shared Free Palestine and something about Erin Bushnell on Facebook. And it was very heartwarming. And I'm very thankful that my mother, Pev, decided to do that. But I will say, the reason it was heartwarming especially is because when I asked her about it, she said, I know some of my old friends from the church where that we went to a long time might be upset by this, but it's the right thing to say and the right thing to do. And I just think that that is something that I hope continues to spread. So I just would like to point everyone to the number of coalition and groups and Western Mass working on Free Palestine actions, really out there doing things. There are relief funds that I can link in this show notes, and that's another way to help if you have that ability. But yeah, it's heavy stuff. So I hope everyone's taking care and doing what they need to remain okay. And we're heading into an election year, which sets us up for this. We're in an election year, good Lord, which sets us up for this episode, really. Right, Spence?
Yeah. And just final thought, like, thank you for sharing that anecdote about your mom.
Of course.
We didn't pre-plan this, so this is
No, I thought that I just thought about it when naturally speaking my mind there.
The first thing that came to mind was, usually when somebody starts a sentence with my mom on the internet or my dad on the internet, which is
it's usually bad.
Usually not a good thing when you're starting a sentence with that. So the fact that there's no excuse to stop learning and to claim that and to say, I didn't know, or
exactly.
I personally mea culpa here. Like, I didn't know shit about the Middle East till the last 2 years.
Right. But neither did my mom. And I'm just saying, if she can change and have a belief that, you know, like, it is wrong. That's what she's saying. Like, this is wrong. Senseless killing of people is wrong. And she's right. Anyone who thinks that what's happening in that region or anywhere where we are going into another country and murdering citizens, it's not okay. And I think it's just great to see people that you might not expect, like you said, Spence, realizing that and posting it on Facebook rather than the other stuff that you see.
And so I didn't know much about the Middle East other than I knew it was quote unquote complicated. I knew it was colonial
right.
imperialism and just, you know, that's what the Ottoman Empire was. I had a rough idea, but like, the thing that kind of blew this open for me, and I say 2 years, which is prior to October 7th, 2023, is the police abolition movement brought me right to the IDF.
Yep.
Tied to Cop City. It's all this network of oppression. And these imperial fucks, and there's an imperial in your head too, by the way. Everybody listening, you may think you don't have it, but people say kill the cop in your head. I say kill the imperial in your head. Imagine a fucking stormtrooper and shoot him dead in your head. Like, they've programmed us, propagandized us from youth, and all this is tied to empire. I don't know how any other way to say it. But so without, and I always didn't like the police. I always had issue with the police, but I was very libertarian about it. Like, that's of other people's problems. But George Floyd is what said, nah, fuck this. Like, this can't be. Like, I can't be watching people be live stream killed. Like, and I know we've had plenty of proof, but that was the switch for me. I went down the abolition train, and now I'm staring at the imperial arm, which is Israel, and what they're doing to native folk. And all the lies and propaganda that goes back to the 1917s, the First World War, it's heavy shit. So try to remain hopeful, I guess. And we brought Joanna so eloquently tied in the topic for today. So appreciate everybody listening to our 10-minute intro. We've been off for a few weeks, you know, so we kind of had to lay it into everybody and get it out. But the topic this week is we're talking to candidates that are running for office to hopefully start dismantling the Imperial Corps. And, you know, so this week we had the Workers' Party come on, Oliver, and the four candidates that they're running for state and federal office. Had them come in and give us their pitch, their story, just so the listeners can, you know, have access to a different candidate that's not the duopoly. So, Joanna, do you want to just talk about them a little bit, or?
Sure. So I think for us, it's also important to note that one of the candidates is a local, John Rivera, John J.R. Rivera of Holyoke. He will be someone that some of our listeners will be able to vote for. He will represent the Hamden, Hampshire County, 2nd District. This includes Holyoke, East Hampton, Westfield, Southampton, Russell, Montgomery, and I may be missing a few other towns in there. There's a number, but I will link to that. He is running against John Velez, is it? Velez? Velez?
I believe it's Velez.
Velez. So
I was calling him Velez, and it's Velez.
I know. I think I was too. So apologies to him. But that's
Fun fact, Joanne and I had a meeting with him, but unfortunately he couldn't make it.
He sent his aides.
They were actually very lovely. We talked about no borders. I had a meltdown because, you know, that's me.
I did not.
Joanna remained calm, cool, and I was
the calmest one there, I think. Even though, like, you know, I'm not gonna shout out to anybody, but
somebody should run for Patricia Duffy's seat, the Holyoke representative in the state house. Somebody should run for her seat. It's not gonna be me. I know that's not my role in life, but
so someone can run at this time though, vote for John Rivera if they're interested, or to replace Bellis. I do agree with you that every person should be primaried by locals. No one should hold seats for a really long time. I understand wanting people in there with experience as well, but I have a lot of friends in the Pittsfield region who did this thing even where they like served and had a 10-year limit on their serving and then like moved on from that. So I think always primary people. We should have primaried Biden. Primary Pat Duffy for sure. But I think if you're in the Western Mass region, John Rivera is someone to look into. He has values that align with many of our listeners' values. Again, this would be a third party. And in this episode, we talk about how, you know, we don't expect the third party candidates to win. And we talk about why you may decide to vote for these third party candidates, even though that may not be the case. In John's case, in JR's case, I'm not going to lie. If enough people voted, it's such a local election, JR could win. The hardest part, I know we're going to talk about with the candidate who's running for Elizabeth Warren, Brandon. What is his last name? I'm so sorry. I don't have it in front of me.
No, it's okay. He's got a real politician's name, and it's not, I don't mean that in a bad way. It's a powerful name. It's Brandon James Griffin.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I just had lost it totally. No, and so he is running against.
So whatever.
Well, he's running against Elizabeth Warren. So I know the major issue for the party in general, and they'll explain it for us, as Brandon needs a certain number of signatures. And we may need some help with that. And I think even if you're not a third party voter yet, or you're an independent and you're not sure, I think this is a great opportunity to sign someone's signature pages so that they can still enter and be on the ballot. Because it's really not, you're not voting for them, you're just giving them a chance. And that's really what democracy is. So I would urge everyone to try to support him in reaching that 3% goal. Again, it is not a vote for the candidate, but it is a way to show the establishment and the status quo that two parties do not work for us, and that there is some support for things other than the Democrats or the Republicans, who are right now really not supporting any of our needs and are engaging in acts that we, especially our listeners, disagree with. So that's my plug on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know,
and there are two other candidates, so please listen in because they're all fantastic.
Yeah, and I'll gladly introduce the other two. We have a longtime favorite of the Weed Out. She's been on the show multiple times. Abolitionist, activist, member of the Workers' Party, Massachusetts, Laura Saylor. What office is she running for, Joanna?
Senate her district is out near where she lives in Mansfield. So again, let me pull up. I don't have that in front of me right now.
Laura's an activist. She's been on the case about Ron Sellen.
She's an abolitionist as well.
You know, a corrupt police chief, with anger issues, who sees his police force in fucking Mansfield, Massachusetts. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Mansfield. I am a little bit. You know, it's country meets suburb. Like, it's not the craziest place on earth, and he treats it like it's a paramilitary. He literally said the word paramilitary. So that's been her issue. But she's also been on the case about Sandra Birchmore, and all sorts of police malfeasance stuff. So we love Sarah, Laura. Please go back and listen to episodes. But she's running for Senate.
State Senate for Bristol and Norfolk District. And so that includes a number of towns in that region. And during the episode, she will talk about all of the towns. I think Mansfield is one of them as well. So she also ran in the last election and came close to that 3% mark. But yeah, Laura is active in the community in a lot of ways, not just even police abolition.
Yeah. We're, you know, and this is probably a good time to mention that, you know, Joanna and I are not members of the Workers' Party. We are very aligned with their policies and their mm-hmm. platform. We support them, but we are media entities. So we do plan on reaching out to all of their opponents. I think Senator Valise would be wise to come on.
And even if they send a statement, we can read it, but it would give everyone the chance to be like platformed if they'd like.
Yeah, there's potential voters that listen to this show, and JR has a shot against him if Holyoke has a high turnout and they vote for him. You know, there's a shot. So Senator, we're going to reach out to you.
Yeah, we're going to email him.
We're going to email you, but yeah, you know, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. You should come on. We're going to ask you hard questions about police and police brutality and abortion systems. So start doing your homework, I guess.
I don't know if that's fair because we're not asking of these candidates.
Well, no, because here's the thing. Their platform is very clear on where they stand on abolition, the Workers' Party, right? We're pretty clear we stand on abolition. So, like, right off the bat, you're not dealing with trying to debunk the doublespeak that liberals, like, presumably JR's opponent, Senator Valise, will do, you know, talking about equity and policing.
I should be tougher on these kids.
Sure. Be tougher. That's fine. How do you plan on implementing that? And like my question.
Yeah. I don't ever ask someone that though, because in my opinion, it's a ridiculous question.
But. Well, my way of asking the question is like, how do you deal with pushback from people that believe the propaganda or believe that this is the best way forward? You know, a militarized police state.
And I don't mean to say ridiculous. I just mean when people say to me, like, how will you implement police abolition? Sometimes that question is used to like stop the conversation and just have me explain what I think is right when I would actually engage with the community to do something like that outrageous of a change. So that's why I say what I said. Sorry.
And we have one more.
Andrew Nelson.
Andrew Nelson. He's running out in the He's running for state rep, so similar office to JR.
He's out near Laura too.
Yeah, I think he's in, what is it, North Attleboro?
Yes, and let me find his district. He only represents a few towns. It's the second Bristol state rep position, and it represents Bristol and Attleboro, Massachusetts. Again, Andrew will let people know that he's someone you can reach out to. He does a lot of like signature gathering and is really active in trying to get that brand in. And the Workers' Party to that 3% threshold at the state level so that they can be on the ballot. And but I guess that's pretty much the focus, really.
Yeah, and they seem to have some momentum. So let's make sure we hear our friends out. And like I was trying to communicate earlier, I hope it was clear with the audience. It may feel like home court advantage to a socialist, a liberal, a progressive liberal, like coming on this show. You know, obviously we kind of like, it's not going to get too combative because we're all coming from a place of we want care for our fellow human beings. And that's how things get done peaceably, because we all have the same fucking values. So, you know, if you're a good person that's still a Democrat, man, maybe just drop that label because they're sullying your good name. You know, and find another community that actually upholds values, and don't compromise on your values, especially if it's with love and care. So the Democrats come on. It's not going to be easy for you because we have thoughts that you're not used to talking about and you may not want on the record.
Yeah. And they like barely understand.
Right. Anyways. So I hope we hope you enjoy and get to know these people. I think what they're running on, what their platform is something I can get behind. But you know, it's not easy running for office at the very least. That's a good way to sum it up. I mean, we at least get to know these people as human beings, and it's important to see our fellow working class people go through the process.
Totally.
So, I guess we're going to be cutting to the interviews and then we'll, wrap it up on the way out. And now we're sitting down, on the phone here with Brandon James Griffin. Hope I'm saying your name right.
That's correct. You got it.
I was making a joke because I'm an Eastern Mass person myself, so I grew up with that. You know, I had the weird name with Spencer. I was the weirdo, but still incredibly white. Anyways, so Brandon is running for U.S. Senate, so federal level election. He's running against incumbent Democrat Zionist Elizabeth Warren. So welcome to the Weed Out, Brandon.
Thank you for having me on, Spencer, Joanna.
Thank you for coming to talk with us. And thank you for primarying Elizabeth Warren.
It won't be the primary because I am not running as a Democrat. Third party's petition for the general election on November 5th. So we get to skip that step.
Thank you for clarifying. And something I had mentioned in the intro was that I know you'll need a lot of signatures to get on the ballot.
That's correct.
For that time. So I am urging all of our listeners and our audience, when you do let them know a little more about yourself, to please reach out to you to give you their signatures. Because I think from my perspective, even if you're an independent voter or a Democrat or anyone, I think having more people on the ballot is a good thing. So I really hope you get that those signatures, because I think if we want to pretend that we have a democracy, we should allow people to be on the ballot and able to be voting for who we want to vote for. So thank you for putting yourself out there and doing this work.
It's my pleasure, I think.
I kind of know what you mean.
Hello, everybody. My name is Brandon Griffin from Whitman, Massachusetts, which is about 20 minutes south of Boston. And I will now run through every grade school and high school teacher I've ever had. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do one of those. No, I am going to be on the general election ballot for the Workers' Party of Massachusetts. Of course, for the listeners who don't know, if this is an independent socialist party in every sense of the word. And we are opposed directly to the Democrats, and especially being in Massachusetts, the choices that we've had over the years, even the GOP are pushed out, except for some reason the governors are always seem to be a member of the Republican Party, and Baker and Romney, but that's outside the purview of what we're focused on. I mean, they're all our political enemies. I don't really see much of a difference between either party. And I am running because we need to find bigger and bigger platforms to reach more and more people, to not just cast votes on election day, which of course we appreciate and that's a great thing, but it's also more about, we need to have the power behind those votes for when we do start to win some elections, and I have complete faith that we will. It will not be just a toothless, you know, person in a body of legislature where it'll just be anything we can do can get repealed. We need to bunk the system that built this nightmare to then take advantage of electoral victories. And what's most important is that people understand what we are about, what we're not about. And that's why it's very important for us to collect these signatures first. And then we can really start to stump on all the types of campaign trails and all the stuff that should be fun. And the barriers to ballot access are, of course, a problem. And that's 10,000 signatures plus a differential for some that may not, well, not may, but will get just crossed off because it's the wrong town, or the signature's bad, or it's a whole process. And 10,000 is a daunting number, but it's doable. So once we get ballot access, we will really be kicking things into gear. And it will be, I think, very, very interesting to see how a true socialist will do on a ballot that will undoubtedly contain Warhawk, phony darling of the phony left, Elizabeth Warren, and the libertarian candidate, which is Louis Marino. Dr. Shiva is running as an independent. I have no comment on that gentleman. And whoever the GOP wins their primary, so far they have six people. But what people are going to be looking at are myself and Miss Warren, because a Republican is not going to win a Senate election in Massachusetts.
The thing I love about your platform, the Workers' Party, is your stance on police and prisons. When you're out campaigning or talking to people, and you know they care about the worker stuff, the healthcare stuff, the stuff, but people are carceral in this country because we've been propagandized. How do you approach that? Because you don't want to, like, you know, you're politicking, so you don't want to, like, call them an idiot. You don't want to lose this voter. But like, so how do you bring them along?
Even to your point there, I don't think that they are idiots. I think that your first point is correct. They've been propagandized. It's an abuse that's been thrown at everybody, really. I mean, I'm sure at some point we've all fell victim to one bullshit story or another. And then when it comes to politics in the US, we've been given this phony divide of two bad slices of bread that are exactly the same. And I don't think people that support workers' rights and support free health care and support all the things that a lot of politicians on the left will claim as virtues and things that they wish to accomplish. There are ways to talk to people, and we're just very in your face about it. If people ask, yes, we are abolitionists. Police, prisons, period. And if the conversation gets deeper, there are a lot of different routes that it could go. You have to meet people where they are, where they live matters. I mean, if I lived out in Holyoke, I may have a different view of how things, of how the folks in those communities see them. Not that police are not problematic everywhere, they are, but it's just a lot of people tend to look in the area that affects them the most, and policing just is the ultimate, it's the knot that glues property and capital and power together, because they protect those three things. They protect property, and they protect capital, and they protect power with fists and guns and handcuffs and propaganda and, you know, bastardizing their labor union and all of the benevolent associations and all that bullshit. And once you show people how much they cost, that's the first thing that can get that cock eye raised. But
exactly. I agree.
That's Joanne's favorite talk. Just bring up the money. Just bring up.
I'm like, go to the budget line. That's always what I say.
I mean, it's half the budget.
It
goes 45% cops, 40% schools, if you're lucky, and then 15% other, which includes roads, bridges, tunnels, sewer, water, paying the TAD employees and the Department of Public Works people correctly, not contracting out snowplow people. Not that we're going to ever see those guys again, but and then there's that little tiny piece left after the PIGS and the schools get their piece. And as far as I'm concerned, you can give it all to the schools and the fire department and the EMS and the hopefully soon to exist crisis counselors.
You need signatures. Not only that, how can people get involved? Can people learn more about your party, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, of course. The easiest way to reach myself or anyone from the Workers' Party is to hit the Workers' Party. I would say hit the Facebook page first. It's Workers' Party of Massachusetts. It's easily found. The website for the party is workerspartyma.org. And my website is bjgriffin4mass.com. And you can reach out to me through Facebook as well, Brendan James Griffin for U.S. Senate. And I cannot stress enough how much 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 signatures matters. Because when it comes down to it, it's that pocket of, you know, 38 little pieces of paper with 4 signatures on them. It matters. And my website has a link where you can click right on there. It'll say signature gathering volunteers. You put in your info and I can send you sheets. I will send them to you folded in a stamped envelope with a return stamped envelope, so the ridiculous cost of postage is not burdened on the people that are offering to help. And again, one signature matters. If anyone hears this, hit me up. I'll send you paperwork. The stamp will be included. Sign it and send it back, hopefully, or get everyone in your house to sign it, or everyone at work, if your work allows that. Or if you don't feel like doing it at all, sign it and send it back with one signature on it. It matters. And that's the absolute best thing that anyone can do right now, is because without ballot access, I can stump all day. But when it gives no one the actual chance to go on and pencil their name in next to some you know, the names we've seen all the time over and over again. We know Warren's going to win. Everybody knows that. And that's not a defeatist thing to say. It's a sad thing to say.
Our audience is familiar with this. We at the Weed Out, we call them ghouls. and it really covers a lot of bases. And it's not super. I'm not singling anybody out. Y'all suck. You're ghouls. And we actually even have a segment on our show at the end, on a typical show that's called Ghoulery and Tomfoolery, where we some ridiculous
story. I like that.
It's a guess.
Yes, ghouls. The ghouls works. It works across the board.
It does, yeah.
There's usually some fucking tomfoolery happening. Anyways, thank you so much for your time. We look forward to hearing from you in the future. And, you know, we're going to get the word out on the Weed Out.
Yeah, keep up the good fight, everyone. Much appreciated.
You too, Brandon. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Have a good night.
You too. Take care.
JR with us, JR John Rivera, JR, as I know him. That's how I know him. So I'm going to always refer to that. I'm not exactly sure how you show up in the ballot, but that's what you're on here to talk to us about, all about your candidacy, what you're running for, and, you know, how you plan on handling your campaign. So tell us your platform. Like, who are you? Why are you running? Where are you running? You know, make sure we highlight that, and what you plan to do on your campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. And for viewers that don't know me, I'm John J.R. Rivera. I go by J.R. in the community, or Johnny Rivera, you know, by the Spanish community, simply Johnny. And I've been a longtime organizer. I was raised in Holyoke. I was born in Kissimmee, raised partially in Puerto Rico. So my native language is Spanish. And so organizing in the predominant, you know, Spanish-speaking community of Holyoke has always been, at the very least, for me personally, has been pretty easy, breaking those language barriers, whether that's the tenant work that I used to do for about 2 years straight, or at the farmers market of Holyoke, trying to turn around the disastrous food issue that we have in Holyoke of just so many parts of Holyoke have food deserts. So trying to turn that around. I mean, Spanish goes a long ways. So, you know, I know it, and you'll see me speaking Spanish in the campaign. I'm running with the Workers Party. Third parties are essential to our democracy. That's why I'm running with the Workers Party. We have very aligned views and interests since, you know, I am a worker, right? We're all running on the same program, same platform. We are disciplined by that program and platform, unlike Democrats and Republicans seem to go willy-nilly and never enact on the promises that they make, such as in the case, whether nationally, you know, locally, or even statewide in the Commonwealth. So that's pretty much why I'm running under the Workers' Party, and what I'm running for and why I'm running for specifically on issues based. Well, I'm running for a plethora of reasons. Tenant rights is number one. Right. Housing. Housing is a big issue, not only in Massachusetts, but nationally and even across the world. So I hope to take a stab at the housing issue and really try to take deep institutional ways of solving housing, or at the very least reforms of solving housing, such as indicated in our program and with the many, many members that work on housing in the Workers Party. Number two, I'm running on public safety. You know, I'm very much opposed to the status quo of public safety, always returning to supporting the bloated police departments in the state, which, you know, don't seem to solve problems statistically. And studies show the police don't solve problems, that they, you know, exacerbate them. And so taking an institutional look at these issues and as to how we can actually solve crimes and actually ensure public safety with other methods that aren't necessarily a part of the status quo, such as harm reduction efforts, number two, survival centers, infrastructure, such as more lighting to neighborhoods and more quality of life improvements in neighborhoods without, and this is a big, big, big a part of my campaign without gentrifying these neighborhoods, because tenants are often left out when it comes to public safety. Tenant rights are often left out, and there is no, barriers to stopping the rise of rents in municipalities. So I hope to take a deep look at these things and solve these things apart of if I do get elected. I have many, many, many other perspectives as to how we can really provide a better future for not only the Commonwealth, but the area I'm running in, which is the second Hampton and Hampshire district. The person that I'm opposing is Senator John C. Vilas. Those that are in Westfield, Holyoke, and some surrounding neighborhoods as well, or surrounding cities. But those are the two main kind of like center cities that I'll be kind of like grasping. You'll obviously see me on the campaign run in other cities that second Hampton, Hampshire district covers. It's another big reason is, you know, Holyoke hasn't had any representation at this level in the second Hampton, Hampshire district. Right. It's always been kind of Westfield, West Springfield since this position was created. And so it'd be not only radical to have a Holyoke Puerto Rican resident run and even win in this race, but it also a blue collar worker, one that believes in actually trying to take a look at these things and solving them from a social standpoint. For folks that don't know, you know, I'm a socialist. Long time, and I believe in taking a social kind of look at these things to solve these things. The people that are closest to the problems are closest to the solutions as well. And so, I hope that kind of covered that big question.
How do you deal with somebody that's been propagandized through propaganda, through fear of the other, xenophobia, all the things where people have a sense of safety with police? How do you convince them? They may agree with your economic policy, they may agree with your housing initiatives, they may agree with most things, but they, because of NYPD blue and law and order, they can't let go of their binky, the austerity status quo enforcement. How do you encounter that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no stranger to militancy, you know, showing up to public comment and really calling out these kind of taxpayer thirsty, pretty much like street warmongers, really isn't something that's new to me. You take a look at Holyoke, for an example. The Holyoke Police Department has had a new captain that ended up like retiring or whatever it was on paid leave for quite some time, and showing up to public comment, really just shouting out to the liberals, essentially being like what is going on here? Right, this can't stand anymore. So for the liberals that are misguided and confused as to like how to change the police department from the inside, I've got news for you. Studies and statistics show that can't happen. Right, that's just not going to happen. You know, like it's been tried before in hundreds, not even tens, hundreds of municipalities in the United States. And even across the globe to reform the police, and it just backfires every time, and it makes issues way worse. Usually for the conservatives and the libertarians, and even at times like Republicans, as confusing as that might be, those people are kind of like, oh yeah, it's kind of bullshit how they are taking our taxes and doing willy-nilly stuff about it. You know, sure, they might be a little bit more kind of like aggressive as to like, you're trying to take the. But those guys, I feel like, are much easier. You know, working in the trades, I'm able to convince those guys a lot easier than the people who are misguided and actually think that like the system can be reformed and the system can be changed from the inside out. The police department has showed that recently with the newest audit that came out, or not even relatively new. Right, Josh Garcia, basically put out this search for an auditing company and had two choices: an auditing company that had predominantly most of them were police officers, and an auditing company that only had like two police officers. Guess what he chose, right? In opposition in the committee that I was a part of, I think it was the citizens, I forget what it was, but it was quite some time ago. But most of those in that committee regarding, it was like a public safety committee, I forget the term. But I was a part of that committee that Terrence Murphy, the former mayor, brought forward and transitioned into the Garcia administration. And most people were in opposition towards this very biased auditing company taking an audit at our police department. And guess what happened in this audit? Not a single thing was found regarding Manny the Fox Reyes's countless sexual harassments under the people under him, the women under him, and as well as how he was in charge of recruitment. And at the same time, definitely not a conflict of interest to the liberals or even some of the conservatives in city council. He was also in charge of the complaint process by citizens. And only 3 out of 97 complaints actually went through in the year of, I think it was 2022. And so I'm not, you know, like confused about these things. You know, these things require a radical and militant change in them. And so a lot of these liberals don't have I think they lack the common sense to do such a thing. They would have done it last year when they had the power in city council in Holyoke. And so taking a look at the second in Hampton and Hampshire district, I would do something very similar at that level. Really ensure that municipalities, public safety committees get more money. And not only that, but those public safety committees actually have and are comprised of people that work closely to these issues, such as harm reduction clinics, such as survival centers, nonprofits that actually assist with these issues. Currently, as it stands in a city like Holyoke, the public safety committee only gets $900 a year, I believe, from my understanding, for a stipend. And so that's not nearly enough to really take a look at the deep infrastructure and institutionalized crimes that are the, or the not crimes, but the issues that are going on within our city from a much more delicate and a much more caring perspective. And so that's essentially, you know, how I kind of aim to convince a good lot of these folks. You know, statistics and studies have proven, and I'm, you know, more than willing to bring them alongside with me on the campaign to show that these, sure, maybe a little radical infrastructure projects actually really do start to lower crime and even at some points start to really lower it at such a radical and dramatic percentage, such as like, you know, like 10 to 20% in some municipalities and some cities across America. So, yeah.
Well, you brought up my Roman Empire, and that is the enigma / open corrupt mayor, Josh Garcia. And so the Captain Reyes, that whole shenanigans, we have been trying to get in touch with Mayor Garcia to get a comment, to anything, to do anything, you know, come on, like that meme with the stick, come on, do something, respond, do anything. And we harassed him on Twitter, like under every post, be like, so what's going on with Captain Reyes? Why is he still employed? You know, and for everybody to real short, he has credible accusations against him. There's restraining orders because the judge finds the accusations credible, yada, yada, yada. Yes, he's not proven guilty yet. Doesn't really matter. He was in a position of power. We had the recently, you know, just prior to that, the story came out that no complaints were ever found that you mentioned, JR. So yeah, the mayor, because of our persistent badgering about what's going on with this online and sullying up his social media posts, he blocked us, which is like, you know, it's not a Holyoke owned, it's not like the city of Holyoke handle. So it's technically not the government, but it's like he doesn't have his own mayor account and a personal account / campaign account. This, he's kind of one and the same. He does city business. So technically, if you want to be really, if you want to quibble,
it is against the law.
It's against the law, you know, especially with, he would laugh if we were a journalistic or a media entity and he's blocking us from commenting the truth. This person is in court right now and they have a lot of power and they were on your transition team. He was the police liaison to the Mayor Garcia mayoral transition team. That's it. That's the tweet, I guess. Like, and he blocked us, and it's really funny. And I every time I get to drive by him or see him, I give him a wave. We make eye contact. We wave. It's pathetic, but you know, thank you for bringing that up. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I thought, you know, I know I'm not the only one. Everybody's kind of like rolling their eyes about how corrupt the Holyoke police are. So that's kind of, I thank you for it.
That and was, it's all police, not just the Holyoke police.
Yeah, absolutely. And on one last like note on that situation, this is no surprise to the countless Puerto Ricans, Spanish speaking, citizens of Holyoke, right? This is what I've seen knocking on doors, a part of my tenants' union, is public safety and how kind of corrupt the Holyoke Police Department is, right? This is no surprise to them. So when a candidate of austerity comes forward and tries to reform the police, a lot of people are kind of like, they become infatuated with it. It's not to say that they don't have those criticisms yet or still. You know, I knocked on doors even after the Garcia administration, and people still had those concerns. And at some points, you know, I got comments in Spanish being like, oh, how do you feel about, you know, Mr., you know, Joshua Garcia, you know, dímelo, nene, you know, tell me, you know, and, you know, I would tell them what's going on, because, you know, I'm in these spaces, and people deserve to know what's going on in Holyoke. And as it stands, you know, the person that is in this position of power at the second in Hampton, New Hampshire district for state senator supports people like Joshua Garcia, supports the police departments in these municipalities uncritically, you know, unwaveringly. So it's no surprise that, you know, when these things get going, you know, a candidate kind of shows up into the picture and says, look, enough is enough. We kind of take a look at these things and really try to solve them institutionally.
Well, absolutely. I think if it's okay if I jump in, I think a great point you're making, JR, with Felice, is that the name? I always say Velis when I see the candidate that you're running against last name. So I'm sorry to that man that I've been butchering his last name. Josh Garcia does this. And so if he's an avid supporter of Josh Garcia, he does it too. And I think the audience, just to like highlight something you said that I think is really important, you're talking about actual data and evidence-based approach and using statistics and research that have been done, like longstanding things that people can look at. And I just use the example of like ShotSpotter amongst others in Holyoke, where the mayor of Holyoke completely disregarded evidence-based information to go forward. And he was supported by the senator who is in your position right now, by the mayor Sarno and some people from, at the time, I think it was the DA in the Hampton area and some other people in that area, which I completely understand, like that's how it works. But I just want the audience to know like who the other candidate is, when they're looking at. And I also wondered, will you be on the ballot, or do you need help from the audience to get signatures to do?
Yeah, absolutely. The signature gathering, you know, is a lot more low stakes than other races, but absolutely. Luckily for me, it's only 300 on the dot, but you know, I'm going to be aiming for double that, so 600. And I'll be aiming for the cities of Westfield and Holyoke. But on the campaign run, you will see me in all the cities in the second Hampton, Hampshire district, knocking on doors and really engaging with people. So if you see, you know, a kid or a couple kids over at, you know, Stop and Shop gathering signatures, have a conversation with us. You know, we're not strangers. You know, we're not, you know, like we don't bite. You know, we'd love to have a conversation about these things. You know, if at the time, if you want to even talk more, maybe we won't have much more time because I'm out there collecting hustling, bustling signatures. You know, I'll give you personally, you know, my number, my email, and we can even chat more at a separate time to really take a look at these things together, right? Because that's really a part of the Workers' Party is we don't represent any corporate interests. We don't represent any corrupt interests. We represent workers, right? We represent the people, the citizens of these counties that haven't had representation for decades.
For the audience, please share all your contact information, how they can get in touch with you to maybe help volunteer and organize or to donate et cetera. Where's your website? What's your social medias? And what's the best way to get in contact with you, whether it's email, social media? Let us know.
Yeah, for my campaign, it'll be our Facebook and our Instagram, Workers' Party of Western Mass. And you can reach out to us on private messenger or any of these things if you want to be a part of the campaign. You can alternatively reach out to my personal email, john.rivera8908@gmail.com. And I'd love to see you on the campaign run, answer any questions that you might have. And we'll get back to you as soon as possible. You know, we've already got numerous interests in not only collecting signatures, but also speaking out at rallies when it comes down to it. And yeah, we're really excited to really start to, I guess, join in on this race and start the engine on that. Yeah.
Well, we're really excited for you. Thank you for sharing what's going on with your campaign. Thank you. And anybody, please get in touch. We're going to post all the things he mentioned, all the links in the show notes. So you can go to www.theweedot.com. Under the episode, you'll see all the information there. And as always, thank you, JR, for coming on. And as the campaign heats up, we'll be in touch, of course. And please be well and good luck.
Thanks, thank you, JR.
Without further ado, thank you, Laura. Thank you for coming on. How are you today?
I'm good. And thank you for having me on. And thank you for giving me the platform to share about my campaign and about the Workers' Party and what we're up to this election season. Now, I am running my campaign for state Senate against Paul Feeney in the Bristol and Norfolk district. I did this last election. I'm running against Paul Feeney because Paul Feeney is an enthusiastic supporter of qualified immunity. And we all know what qualified immunity does and what the issue of qualified immunity is. So that right there, and the thing about Paul Feeney too, is like he kind of like portrays himself as like progressive, and they say progressive. Ran Bernie Sanders' campaign in New England in 2016. He was the campaign manager. And like, if you take a close look at what he does and how he votes and what his actual positions in the state house are, he's not. I mean, anything that these people think he is, you know, he'll go qualified immunity. His union shop welcomed Joe Biden and Marty Walsh and honored them the night that they busted the railroad strike. So even though Paul Feeney is a union member, you know, there's quite a bit of contradictions there with what people might look and say, oh, this is what they believe versus what they actually believe. Another reason I'm happy to do this campaign is that they, as everybody knows, they reinstated Ron Sellin in Massachusetts. Kevin Dumas reinstated him. Shortly after that, the select board rehired Kevin Dumas as town manager for another term. Ron Sellin supporters, and we've discussed this in the past, Ron Sellin supporters are mostly the Democrats in town, active Democrats. When I'm saying Democrats, I'm not meaning, you know, just regular voters. I'm meaning people who are active on the town committee and, you know, go to the state committee meetings and all that. You know, their whole thing was in response to my concerns with Ron Sellin stating that Mansfield Police was a paramilitary organization. They assured me, oh, he's in there to get rid of that, you know, make it not like that. And, you know, he's a reformer and, you know, he believes in training and, you know, he's got a temper problem, but, you know, and fact of the matter is at the picket line for the UAW, you know, which is labor workers. My union had people there. I'm a member of the UFCW. UAW was there, SAG, the Writers Guild, IBEW was there. The Mansfield Police and the rest of the contingent that they pulled in were very militarized. They were in the vests. They were in formation. You know, they were standing at the ready and they were pretty nasty to the strikers, acting like a paramilitary organization. And I really want to use my campaign to bring these contradictions into the public conscious, you know, because people might forget about, oh, you know, Ron Sutherland said paramilitary organization, and then you see them acting like a paramilitary. Well, these people are telling you that, you know, he was doing the opposite. And I think that our campaigns are important for that. And I am also very excited and very optimistic about Brandon Griffin running for U.S. Senate against Elizabeth Warren. I am happy because we now have four of us, me, Brandon. Yeah, four of us this time around, representing all different sorts of areas of the state. And our party is growing. And we're forming great coalitions. We're active in the Palestine coalition up here in Boston. JR's done some work on that out your way. And I am, you know, every day I wake up and I look at the news and I get discouraged, but you know, what we're doing really gives me some optimism. It's kind of keeping me going. And I'm really proud of what we stand for and what we do. And we could use help with signatures. People could get in touch with me. I have a sailorforsenate.com, nationbuilder.com is my website. I have a Facebook page. Message me. Brandon's looking for signature gatherers. And, you know, sign up and help us out. I also want to say that on Wednesday evening, the 28th, my local chapter, the Sadium Area Local of the Workers' Party, is having an open house at the Mansfield Municipal Airport Meeting House. For the community, anybody who wants to drop in, we're going to have refreshments. We're just going to be around to talk. The candidates that are running for office will be there. You'll get to meet us and ask us questions and bring up your concerns. And we'd love to meet you, whether you agree with us or not. Come in, drop in, say hi, get to know us. And that'll be Wednesday, day after tomorrow. It's at 6:30 at the Mansfield Municipal Airport Meeting House.
Are there going to be any, since this is an in-person meeting, will there be any protocols in place for COVID?
We should wear a mask.
So mask wearing. Yeah.
Please do wear a mask. And I didn't used to insist on masking. I am good with masking, but I just got through another bout with this. And I'm going to ask that people do wear a mask and be COVID conscious.
Yeah. And that for me, this is just, I've been doing a lot of learning and reading on disability justice. Shout out to Imani Barberin on Twitter. And her handle on TikTok is Crutches and Spice. She's kind of picked up a good following. She has a good head on her shoulders. And, you know, any good movement, we have to think about the least of us. And any one of us could become disabled because of COVID. So masking and COVID policy and good COVID policy is, you know, is allyship with the disabled. And we could all pretend we're all eventually going to be disabled. One way or another, you know, like
if we are not already,
right? So yes, everybody, this is the weed out, you know, this is our home turf, so we highly suggest your mask. I understand the world isn't perfect, but you know, if we did this properly years ago, we wouldn't fucking be here. It's really
the problem is though, I don't really even blame the general public for it. There was an active propaganda campaign to minimize COVID.
It's still going on.
It's still going on. And we don't have a functioning public health system. We don't. So, I mean, you know, yes, it's annoying that, like, you know, people are anti-mask or anti-vax or whatever, which I'm pro both. But I don't per se really, unless they're really like ridiculous about it, I don't really blame the general public for that, because they're getting bombarded with, well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And, you know, if you look all right, you're probably all right. And you, it's just,
yeah,
like,
the rules change so much. That's the thing.
Yeah. I mean, they're bombarded with minimizing and,
right.
Yeah.
So the Workers' Party, can you just, this isn't my question, but I realize we haven't touched on it. For anybody listening that doesn't know about the Workers' Party, give us a quick, your quick 1 minute hit on what the Workers' Party of Massachusetts is, Laura. I would love to hear your pitch.
The Workers' Party of Massachusetts is an independent socialist organization and political party with the goal of electing candidates and doing other work. We have, in addition to running candidates for electoral office, we also have many different working groups. We have a labor working group. We have an eco-socialism working group. The group that I chair is the Police Defund and Abolition Working Group. We have, and I believe, did I say labor? We just have a whole plethora of other things that we're working on. We work in coalition with other organizations on issues like Palestine. And our thing right now is running candidates for office.
And remind everybody your the specific office you're running for.
I am running for state senate in the Bristol and Norfolk district. Against
what towns does that include?
That includes Mansfield, Norton, Attleboro, North Attleboro, Foxborough, and Canton, and Sharon.
Personally, I've been someone who has supported third parties my entire voting career. So for me, this is a question just so the audience can understand why you would put your eggs in this basket into the Workers' Party, even if potentially... like to run in these elections, even if you know potentially you may not win. What is the goal in the long term for third parties that may not yet have the percentages or the amount of votes that people may want to see? What would you say to voters that, unlike myself, might not understand why it's important to support a third party and give you that support?
It is important to support a third party, and I'll tell you why. There's a whole plethora of reasons. Yeah. If you oppose both parties, the duopoly parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, they, you know, differ on like rhetorical stuff, a couple of social issues to minor degrees, but policy wise, they're pretty much the same. If you want to change things, you're going to have to have a new party. For a third party to make it, and what the first couple of elections are about, and this is, I want to say the third election season that we've run candidates. The first one Nick ran, I don't know if we were a designation yet or not. Nick ran for state rep.
Yeah.
Last election, three of us ran, myself, Nick, and three of us ran, and Brandon put in a little over $1,000, and he got over 20% of the vote in a district that was really quite conservative, Whitman and all of that. I spent less than $1,000, and I got over 3%. Here's the thing. To get above the percentage that you need for matching funds and recognition as an actual political party versus a designation, you have to get over 3% at the state level. Which is, you know, Brandon's campaign would qualify for that because everybody in the state would participate in election between Brandon Griffin and Elizabeth Warren and whoever the new Republican challenger is. And that's how you build a third party. I say to people sometimes, well, how are you going to, what do you expect? Do you expect it to happen? Like, I want a third party. There it is. And they won an election. No, that's not how it works. You have to work to build it. You have to work to get ballot access. We work at a very local level. We have local chapters that are very localized. I mean, my area is basically, you know, from like Sharon to Pawtucket, you know, the line there in Attleboro, Canton. Nick's area is what we call Southeastern Mass. It would be like Weymouth, but very, very localized. And there's a reason for that. You want to start winning and get your percentages up there. You want people to know who you are. That's the other thing. When you run campaigns, people learn about you. They meet you. They understand what you are. You get your ideas and your platform out there. And I think that that's what you have to do with a third party. And people that say they weren't want third parties, you got to put in the work to get one. It's not just going to appear.
Exactly.
You have to put in the work to make it happen.
And I will say, I don't know, I should have looked this up, Laura, so I'm going to ask you now we're talking. I know at the national level, they actually, like, the government actually makes it harder for party, like, third parties to join in the election. Like, there are more signatures often required or more percentage rates needed. So I wondered in the Massachusetts level if it's different or if there's, like, a level playing field.
I haven't. Now, we don't have a level playing field when it comes to the media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this.
Fair point. Good point. Right.
I will say, and the system as a whole, but I will say that no, if you put in the work that's required, we got our political designation signatures during the COVID quarantine.
Okay.
You know, I mean, granted, it wasn't a whole lot of signatures, but we were able to get them and get to town halls, get them verified, get them to the Secretary of State, and get that taken care of during a pandemic. With
yeah, and that, I think that goes to show, like you said, the localization and what we talk about on the podcast a lot. How sometimes it feels like the federal government and that whole apparatus is out of our hands, but it's nice to hear that even at a local level, supporting a third party feels like maybe there is, like, it feels a little bit more, I guess, like you're saying, it's not as difficult. You can just participate in the same way.
Right. And a lot of people that, like, either, you know, vocalize support or express interest in the party, a lot of them were what I like to call alienated non-voters.
Okay, that makes sense.
And there's more of them than there are registered Democrats and Republicans and independents combined.
Thank you for reminding the audience.
And there's a reason. So, like, what gets me is, like, if Democrats say, well, why won't you? We don't support you. You know, we don't support you. We support these people we don't want you in our coalition. We don't want you in our party, if you believe. We don't want you. We have a platform that we believe in. Right. You believe in this platform. This is who we are. We're not going to say we're a pro-choice party and then go, oh, we're going to let, you know, some anti-choice, you know, pro-life conservative in because we're a big tent. No, we're not going to do that. That's not who we are. So to Democrats, I mean, no, we don't want you. And we're not asking for you to join. We want, like, people that understand that the system needs a change and are unhappy and feel unrepresented, which I think is the bulk mass of people right now.
I don't disagree with you. And I just want the audience to know that if they have questions, they should go to Laura's Facebook page and reach out to you like you said, because I think even if you're someone who isn't sure about who you're voting for, or like Laura said, you're someone who's not voting yet, I think even just talking to Laura or someone in the Workers' Party might be there are so many things we can work on, like you said. And yeah, I think you're a delightful person to speak with, Laura. So if someone wants to reach out to you, just learn more. I'm sure that would be fine.
I want to clarify too that I also know that people can grow. So, like, someone's been a liberal and grown, that's one thing. But, like, you know, to be in 2024 and going, you know, I'm a proud Democrat, then I get some questions for you. You know, I mean, really, come on. You know?
That's fair.
Thank you, Joanne. And I enjoy being a guest on here, and I enjoy talking with you as well.
Please remind our audience where we can find you on, you know, the social medias, your website, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. My website is SailorForSenate@nationbuilder.com. The Workers Party is Workers Party MA, all one word, .nationbuilder.com. And I have a Facebook page, Laura Saylor for State Senate, and hit me up there.
And now we're sitting down with our friend Andrew Nelson, who is running for office on the Workers' Party ticket. And, you know, just like we had Laura, Brandon, JR on, We're not as familiar with Andrew. This is the first time he's been on the show. We're glad he's on. So welcome to the Weed Out, and hope to hear about your campaign and what you plan on doing. So without further ado, tell our audience who you are.
Yeah, right on. Thank you. I appreciate it. Joanna Spencer. It's a pleasure to be on here. I know you've spoken with our comrades. You are part of the Workers' Party. I discovered the Workers' Party in approximately 2022. I finally found something that made sense to me. Some hardworking people that were beyond the sort of democratic socialist, beyond Bernie, beyond AOC, if you know, and I don't mean to disparage them. What it was something that was loud and substantial. And the way I grew up, you know, I was reading like Crime Think or Upton Sinclair when I was supposed to be reading something, you know, that my high school English teacher had provided me. I couldn't really find that group of people, that that section that really went at it. You know, Chomsky, we've read it. It took a while. You know, I was a baby leftist. And then one day I stumbled upon the Workers' Party. And holy goly, I was so excited to find them, because it was, they meant everything they said, and they did not mince words. And so I started helping them out in any way I could. This was in 2022. When I found them, I was, you know, every day I wake up and I read the news and see just how bad it is. And I try to be a positive person. I'm a father of three. It's difficult to see what happens every day and to have a positive attitude. But I found that camaraderie with the Workers' Party. I said, okay, here are people that actually organized. And it took so much of their efforts to organize. I said, how can I help? How can I help this party? Because this is what I believe in. And it's fundamentally Marxist. It's fundamentally, you know, Lenin. And it was very easy to attach myself to that. So that made it very easy for me to step in and say, how can I help? So that was 2022. I helped gather some signatures. I helped promote in any way possible, mostly through social media, because that's really the only way I, well, it's a popular way to do it nowadays. Even though it's getting shuttered and silenced nowadays, that's how I could help. But the more I read, the more I invested my time into the Workers' Party of Massachusetts, the more I got out of it. And by the time 2023 came around and we were looking for candidates to run, I said, okay, look, I have the time. I'm a stay-at-home father. And I think I can do this with some support. I think I have somewhat of a knowledgeable background, and I think I'm able to help this cause because I have some time. My kids are getting slightly older than, you know, it's allowing me to, they're getting older, so it's giving me more time to do these things that are important to me. It's very important to me. And so I said, okay, I will run if you guys would like me to. And here I am running for state representative for the Attleboro 2nd District, Bristol. My opponent, Jim Hawkins, is a nice guy. He sure is. He's also a Democrat to his bones. They're not tackling anything significant. They're just treading water. They're just gathering enough support to say, hey, we're doing something, but they're not doing enough. And the Democratic Party has just abandoned everybody. And I'm more scared of liberals than I am of these conservatives. I'm not scared of Trump. I'm more scared of another Biden regime. I need to help. I need to do something. So that's why I'm running. I'm running to support the Workers' Party. We need to get to a 3% threshold. That way, we're on all ballots at all times. We're gathering signatures actively every single day. Pardon my congestion, but I'm sick because I've been out in the cold gathering signatures for Brandon James Griffin, who is running for U.S. Senate, Laura Saylor, who is running for state Senate, and myself, who's running for state representative. John Rivera is also running for state Senate.
Hampton and Hampshire District.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hampton and Hampshire District. I'm sorry. I can't read my writing.
That's okay.
I'm left-handed.
I don't know. Me too.
And it's kind of weird. Nice. It's all Westfield. It's all Holyoke. And it's like part of two other towns. Like it's
East Hampton, Southampton, and then a couple of small towns down near Westfield, Montgomery, and Russell. And I might have missed a few.
If there's any district that's really suffering from some boots on the neck, it's that district. They've been cracking down on just being outside.
So can the audience help by reaching out to you if they haven't already signed to give you a signature? How are the best ways to help if you're someone who is an independent or a third party voter and you want to get involved?
As far as my campaign goes, I'm running as an Attleboro 2nd Bristol district. So I can only accept signatures from Attleboro residents. If anybody wants to reach out, they can email me at workersforandrewnelson.nationbuilder.com and I can send them papers, but they'd have to be an Attleboro resident. I can only collect signatures for Attleboro. Yeah, so there's Boston and Cambridge, hands off, Rafa ceasefire on March 2nd. We have a ceasefire, stop the genocide pretty much every Sunday in Braintree.
Okay.
We have plenty of support there. We're not trying to gather signatures there, but at least for the last, since papers were issued, but we stand in solidarity for Palestine. And at this point, we are going to collect some signatures from that. Brandon James Griffin, he needs 10,000 signatures.
Yeah.
Which is a lot. Again, I only need 150 and it's a slog. Laura Saylor needs 300 and I believe JR needs 300. John Rivera out of the Hampton district, excuse me. And anybody that can help, please reach out to the Workers' Party. Any volunteers, any signature gathering would really push this party forward, because then we can start campaigning as opposed to gathering signatures, which is, like I said, it's a slog. We're not complaining. We need to do it. Unfortunately, I was offered I got a call from somebody saying, okay, it's $5,000 and we'll get you a few signatures. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I have $150 in my coffer. And that was generously donated by supporters of the Workers' Party. So we can't pay to buy signatures. Jill Green, she is paying $1.50 per signature. We can't do that. So we need to be out on, you know, on the beaten path. This is legitimately grassroots. So I would urge any supporter of the Workers' Party to please sign up. We can send you nomination papers. This is the biggest hump that we need to get over, and then we can start campaigning. We're literally fighting a genocide supporter. We're fighting the Boston mayor who wants to sweep homeless encampments and criminalize houselessness. We are in the throes or the end game of a capitalist society that just is not working for anybody. And I dare anybody to say, I'm doing well. My whole family's doing well. I dare anybody to say that. And if they are, good for them. But I feel like if they are doing well, it might be at the, you know, subjugation, criminalization of somebody else, where we're not supporting the lowest. I believe it's Debs who said, you know, the lowest of our, as long as there is a lower class, I am in it. As long as, and that's the most important, you know, we're here fighting for everybody, not just to enrich a few capitalists. We want, Warren is a warmonger. It's disgusting. She cast her ballot for Biden today, who's actively committing genocide. Like, we can't abide this. And I don't know how anybody can wake up and see this news every day and not say, is there anything I can do? Is there anything I can do?
The Democrats lost me when Biden said, I mean, they lost me for a lot of reasons, but the final nail for Biden for me was like 2.5 years ago when he was like, spend your COVID money on cops. I was like, what? And then my chief in Holyoke fucking requested Christmas toys because of an endless supply of COVID money grants. And they bought stupid shit. And they sweep people. They're bad motherfuckers. And yeah, they're all.
Did they do? They probably did a, you know, hey, Holyoke cops bought Christmas toys for the kids.
No. You know, like,
some sort of propaganda.
They literally referred to their own shit as like, you know, like militarized weapons as Christmas toys. It's gross. Unbelievable. Yeah. In emails, like in requests to the mayor. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here? But anyways, that's every police. That's not Holyoke's not special. We're not special. It's everywhere, especially poor.
No,
Andrew, I just wonder if you could, like, you mentioned that you don't care about winning, and I've asked other candidates this because, obviously, as a third party candidate, it's hard in this country because of so many reasons and things that are. I know I mentioned this when I'm talking with Bora. At the federal level, it's actually more difficult to run for like a number of reasons. So for Brandon, it must be more, I think it's more signatures that he would have to acquire than Liz Warren would, for like one example. And I just wonder if you could talk about why it's not about winning for you and what it is about.
I have no bones about winning. The U.S. population is so thoroughly propagandized and fed nationalistic bullshit that, pardon my French. And I say this in all honesty, liberals are the scariest. It's not It's not Trump. It's not MAGA. It's blue MAGA that terrifies me. They are so propagandized and so comfortable with their themselves. Why I'm running has nothing to do with winning. I would thoroughly enjoy that. My running in this race is to get the Workers' Party to a 3% threshold. So where anytime you see a ballot, you're going to see the Workers' Party of Massachusetts next to it.
Awesome. So that would mean, so that's that. I guess I have a clarifying question. So you mentioned that before. So once you all get the 3%, that would mean that moving forward in any election, you could like run a candidate and be on the ballot.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Nice. Good to understand that. Okay.
We'd have an official party designation.
Awesome.
And it won't go away.
Okay. So that's good. I didn't understand that. Thank you for clarifying.
Can you just share where we can find you before you go? Like, where can everybody find you? You're so
sure. All that good stuff. My website is workersforandrewnelson.nationbuilder.com. You can find me there. Most important is workerspartymass.org. You can donate. You can sign up for signature gathering, volunteering, financial donations through our PAC. That would help me. That would help Laura. That would help John. But we want our candidate, Brandon James Griffin, forefront. His website is bjgriffin4mass@nationbuilder.com or .com. And we need to support him. This is larger than our local candidacies. We understand what we're doing, where we're at. Laura and John are very in tune to local politics. They can speak clearly on their local issues. Right now, I want to see Brandon James Griffin take the torch here, and we need all the help we can get. So workersparty.ma.org is the best way to help any of us. Our party constitution is there. Again, we're anti-war, we're pro-gun, we're anti-Warren.
Who isn't? Well, I should.
We're pro Palestine. We'll be out Saturday in Boston. I'll be gathering signatures all week. If anybody wants to help, again, please reach out to workerspartymass.org, and tremendous help from anybody. We can send you out signature ballot initiatives. Just to get on the board. We want to get these signatures done with. That way we can start campaigning. And with regards to that, we haven't stopped actively participating in pro-Palestine movements. But let our voice be heard, at least. And so we need to get that 3% threshold where our voice will never be turned down ever again. So that's why I'm supporting, that's why I'm running, and that's why I'm here.
Well, thank you very much. And if anybody needs any of that information that he just shared, it will be on our show notes at www.theweedout.com. Go to this episode, under the show notes will be all the contact information that Andrew just mentioned. And thank you very much for coming on, Andrew.
Spencer, Joanna, I really appreciate it. And I'm here to talk anytime you guys would like.
Great.
And, awesome. Thank you so much.
We'll touch base as the campaign goes on. So good luck out there, and we appreciate everything that you're doing. Thank you to all the candidates that give us their time today to share their platform and their commitment in their campaign with our audience. Hope that was informative and helpful for everybody at home. We'd love to hear your thoughts, so always feel free to give us feedback at theweedout@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, www.theweedout.com, and get all this information, all the links that were mentioned, any way to contact any of these people. All this stuff, as always, is on our show notes. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out to us via email or on social media. But Joanna, do you have any final thoughts before we sign off?
I would just like to thank all of the candidates as well and our listeners, and remind everyone to take care. And that's it.
Remember, everybody, keep weeding out the bullshit.